Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. I'm on my, well, I wouldn't call that a cup. I'd call that my fourth cup then. You know, if you have a really giant coffee cup, you can only say I only drink one cup of coffee today. It just happens to be a 48-ounce cup. But I love my Harvest Ridge, and you'll love it too. Have it at your office like we do here. Have it at your home or on the go. Get it at any of your local convenience stores. It's Harvest Ridge Coffee, a rich, sophisticated experience. Be sure to drink it with your pinky out. Kenyetta McFall is here from the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. Kenyetta, you have not been a guest on my show before?
I have not.
Wow, we're so glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.
I know you wear a lot of hats. You work for the chamber, but you also are the embodiment of you can do more than one thing. You can have more than one ball in the air at a time, and you can juggle very successfully. And I think that's good for people to know. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you do when you're not working at the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce.
Well, when I'm not working at the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce, I have my own business, which is Epiphany Creative Design, which I create custom memories for people. And I work alongside my husband, who also caters.
Okay, so little special event kind of business there to make things very special for people. That is fantastic. Well, the Chamber of Commerce is always looking to make things special for people, and for years, the Chamber has been in charge of the Dogwood Parade. Now, this is not a moneymaker for the Chamber. It's kind of a pain in the butt, really, but they love doing it in a way, because where else can you get thousands and thousands of people to rally around? And it's going to be May 3rd. The first Saturday of May, and you still have openings for the parade, but you are going to be cutting it off. A lot more people want to be in the Dogwood Parade than can fit in the Dogwood Parade. So tell us a little bit about the parade, the theme, everything we need to know, please.
That is correct. We never have a problem filling the Dogwood Parade. We are taking entries until April the 18th. We did it last year, but this year it was really popular, the Skip the Line. And so we had that for people who wanted to kind of skip the line. But this year we have our theme, which is celebrating our heritage, educate, celebrate, and commemorate. And we're coming alongside of course, the Quincy Bicentennial. But our major sponsor, Blessing Health, also is having a 100-year for Blessing Hospital anniversary as well. And so with that being said, we normally have contests that the people can enter and win. So the best float 10 feet or shorter, that is the Mayor Award, and they receive $100. The best float over 10 feet using the theme, and that's the Governor Award, which is $100. And then the best overall use of theme, which is the Mary Lou Kent Award, which is $250. But this year, as we have collaborated with the Bicentennial Committee, they have in turn hosted a contest as well using the overall theme for the Bicentennial, which giving the first award, $500.
Wow.
Second, $300. And third, $200. And so we will be judging at 8:15 sharp, so you have to be in place and ready. Judges will be going up and down the path from 36th to 24th, watching and looking for the criteria that you have to meet in order to be picked.
Well, that's certainly enough for a business to be motivated or a group to be motivated to put together a float with a marching unit. The great thing about the Dogwood Festival Parade, when you're in the parade, you don't miss the parade. Correct me if I'm wrong this year, but you always do reverse lineup.
No, we do not do. We do not do the reverse lineup.
Like I said, pay no attention to me. I haven't been in the Dogwood Parade for a while. They used to do reverse lineup, which was great because while you were parked, you could see everybody go by. Now you have to kind of go up to the front and then run back when it's time for your unit to work. But how many units do you usually have? You have almost 200, don't you?
No. Well, we have about a 125.
Oh, really?
Is where we cut off, yeah. Because that gets us
I think we used to have about 200. Yeah. And it was like the Dogwood Parade is Saturday and Sunday if people don't work, you know, hurry along. So
yeah, that gets us to 36th,
okay.
Not going across the street.
Well, you're right. I mean, these things are, it's incredible amount of work to put a parade together. I mean, there is a lot of moving parts in keeping everybody moving. And of course, it will be televised. And so they do have to allow for a few commercial breaks. Sometimes that's when they say, stop traffic, let 24th Street go, let 12th Street go, let 18th Street go. There's a commercial break. We'll take a 30-second pause, and then we'll resume the parade. Lots of places to watch along the parade route, including in front of the Lorenzo Bull House, because the Friends of the Lorenzo Bull House will have some special activities that day.
Yeah. They for the last couple of years, they have hosted a
kind of a
festival.
Viewing.
Yeah.
A viewing party, if you want to call it that, with lots of things to do. So get there early. There'll be some food. Then you can get your good seat on the risers,
right.
Have a good seat. And then when the parade is over, you can continue there on the grounds or make your way downtown. There's just all kinds of stuff going on. The Art Center is also moving some of its exhibits downtown. They're going to have pop-up artist booths all over the district. So it's just Dogwood Festival Parade Day. You guys are the focal point of it, but everybody else is building off of it. And
absolutely,
that's really what the Chamber's all about, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. So 125 entries. Do not be late. They will cut it off. And you can win up to $500.
Yes.
Wow, that is exciting. And it is our 2025 Adams County Bicentennial Year. So I'm sure there'll be some very crafty and creative things. WTAD is 100 years old this year.
Right.
So it's amazing how many, every year, some major company is having a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps rolling. It just keeps rolling. We have so many old line businesses here in town. It's just amazing. And yet the Chamber's always recruiting new businesses and getting
new
people.
Always.
So I don't think they had event planners back 200 years ago. I think they were like, well, let's chop down a path, and that's our event.
Right.
Hopefully people will come. Kenyetta McFall, my guest today from the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. Please get your parade entry in. It is May 3rd, and the deadline to register for the parade is coming up.
Mm-hmm. The 18th.
18th of April, so do not be late. One of the things the Chamber is trying to do is empowerment among women. Business executives who are women or young women who want to become a business executive oftentimes struggle to find that role model. Not as much anymore, but it is hard sometimes to find somebody who shares your passion and shares some of the same things you have to do because, again, men are stepping up and taking more childcare responsibility. The 20-something crowd, those guys are pretty much understanding their parents too. But when I was, back in the business world starting, men went to work, women went to work, and then came home and did all the housework and took care of the kids. So it's changing a little bit. We're getting a lot more equality there. But talk about the empowerment luncheons for women and the empowerment award, please.
Absolutely. So every month we have a Women Empowered luncheon at the Croc Center from 11:30 to 1. And it is the third Thursday. Third Wednesday, and then we do have a couple of Thursdays this year. But Mary, we normally only have four, but this year our theme was resilience, the ability to bounce back in the midst of adversity. And when I tell you women were knocking down the doors to be a presenter, I'm not kidding. We ended up with 9 presenters this year for our Women Empowered group. And so this month, April 16th, we have Mekki Colson, who is going to be our presenter for the Women Empowered. And because of that theme, we decided that we wanted to do an Empower Her Award, spearheading off of the Women Empowered meeting. And with that, we're going to honor and recognize women in leadership, innovation, and service. And from those nominations, we're accepting nominations, so it's not something we're just kind of picking randomly, but we do have nominations out on our website on the Women Empowered page, and you can nominate every month, but we cut off at the end of the month to be able to present for the next month that women empowered winner. And those, the criteria for that is that they just have to be a business leader, someone who owns, leads, or plays a key role in a business. They have to have community engagement. They give back through mentorship, philanthropy, or advocacy. And then in industry influence, and they are recognized as a thought leader or a trendsetter in their field. And so who can be nominated? Business owners, executives, industry leaders, community advocates, change makers, innovators, and trendsetters. And then what we do is take those that are nominated at monthly. What we do is at the end of the year, in I believe November, we're going to have a large luncheon to bring all of those people together. And then we're going to take those nominees, and they will be recipients of either the Legacy Builder Award, and that award is honoring a woman with a longstanding impact in business and community. The Game Changer Award is recognizing a leader transforming her industry with innovation. And then the Next Gen Leader Award, and that's celebrating an up-and-coming powerhouse making waves. So that's kind of focusing on our young professionals group under 40.
It's going to be fantastic. And if you want more information, of course, go to the Chamber of Commerce website. A little bit off topic, but while you're talking here, I'm thinking about programs to empower women, which would assume that women didn't feel powerful. Programs to help minority business owners move forward, which would imply that some minority business owners felt that was a problem. These kind of DEI, which is the catchword today, diversity, inclusion, equality, have been programs that have been really across the board the last 20, 25, maybe even 30 years. And I think we're starting to see the results of that. And so a lot of people say, we're there. We don't need to do any more. Today, Martin Luther King, his famous last speech, I may not get to the mountaintop with you, but we will get there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was an affirmative action hire. I'm always not afraid to say I got my first job because I was a woman. Mm-hmm. I had to have some ability to do the job, but I feel bad. But, you know, those guys that applied, they didn't have a prayer because they were going to hire me. They were going to hire someone like me because I was a woman. There are people who were the first black person to do this, or the first, we have a first woman mayor. So are we done with DEI? Have we come far enough that Kenyetta McFaul is a black woman, or Mary Griffith as a white woman, or Linda Moore as a white woman? We don't need any extra help. We're already there. Or do we still have to do inclusion, because now we've got inclusion for people who are on the autism spectrum, which is men mostly. You know, we've got inclusion for people who are from an ethnic group that could be male or female. Are we done with this, or are we just, is it something that we need to keep doing?
I don't believe that we're done. I think that, you know, we have to strive, one, to, you know, just come together. I think that there's so much still division in the world anyways. And I think that, you know, I think what people fear the most, they attack. So I think with that, I think that diversity, equity, and inclusion is not something, I don't know that we will ever get to a place that we are completely done, because there's always going to be something that's going to, you know, pop up. Like you said, we have all of these other things that we're adding into DEI. And so I think that we will never get to a place that we're done.
You know, and I guess that's good news and it's bad news. I was just at an event and we were celebrating young women. And one of the young women celebrated there was in a wheelchair, and she could not go to the school of her choice in Quincy. She had to go to public school. All of her family went to private school, but that wasn't handicap accessible. Yeah. Now, in today's day and age, we don't think about that too much. We're trying to make the building across the street handicap accessible, retrofitting it. All of our public schools and public places are usually handicap accessible. But again, that fight had to come. One of my girlfriends, she's in her 70s now, she was told she couldn't go to public school. Not just that they couldn't accommodate her wheelchair. She was told in the Hannibal public school system, you can't come to school because you're in a wheelchair. Her intellect was fine. So, yes, you know, so I think sometimes people are tired. I'm tired of hearing about how women don't have any breaks. I'm tired of hearing about how black people don't have any breaks. I'm tired of hearing about this. I'm tired of hearing about that. Well, things have changed. And so for a certain group of people, I'd say Kenyetta and I fall into that. We're doing okay. But we also had to stand on the backs of people who had to fight a little bit for us. And there's always a new group coming forward. And I think that just identifying what that new group is, you know, just people that have different ways of communicating in the world, for example, or people that have different skill sets, they need to be valued. And if we want them to be able to be employed, we have to have some accommodations for them. And so, like you said, this will never really end.
It will never end because, you know what, the reason why is because those that don't have to have a struggle, they're ready for it to end. But those that deal with the struggle will continue to fight until they don't have the struggle.
I just had a conversation just in my private life about reparations. And I said, but I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything, you know. But you're right. I mean, I can see both sides of the story, and I can definitely understand both sides of the story. But sometimes, again, these conversations are uncomfortable for people.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can be very uncomfortable in the workplace. And so I think it's great that the chamber still tries to empower women, because there's an awful lot of powerful women in Quincy, Illinois. But for a long time, I mean, it's really funny. If you go back and look at the Quincy Herald wig, my mother was very active in several volunteer organizations, being the lady at home. And she was never once identified by her first name. She was always Mrs.
Wow.
Charlie Griffith, and Mrs. William Sackadat appeared. You know, it couldn't be Evelyn and Gina did something. That would not be appropriate, you know. You have to be identified by the man in your life. That's your primary function. Kenyetta's rolling her eyes going, that's never going to happen in my lifetime. But again, you know, it's the change that we make. You know, I know that DEI will continue to be something that, whether we call it that or not, we all recognize that the more we can reach out and help other people, whatever that help is that's needed, it's needed. And for a lot of people, older people, it's getting retraining to go back into the workforce.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a definitely this baby boomer generation now that we're all getting older. We still have a lot to contribute. We just may not be able to do it at the same level as a 20-year-old.
Right. And as the chamber, when we do our DEI, right, we go at it as that it is a conversation, not confrontation. And so we try to make sure that we create the atmosphere that the conversation can happen, right? And if we could take that on as the world, as a conversation versus confrontation, I think we can get somewhere.
You know, one of the people that I speak to regularly said, you know, I've gone to a lot of chamber events and sometimes it's a little bit overload for me on DEI. And she said, because we have a family business. So guess what? You're almost all our hires almost always look like me because they're my family, but they have other people. So she recognizes you have to be thinking, how can I get a veteran involved? How can I get someone involved? So it's very important.
Yeah.
Real quick, business before and after hours, man, you are booked up.
We are.
If somebody wants to have a business before or after hours, they can still call the chamber.
Yeah, they can call us. We do have still one for this year in July. We have a business after hours available July 10th, I do believe.
That's
that
the
is
only
the
one
date.
All year?
Yes, that is the
okay,
only
well
one.
Okay, well then mark your calendars for July 25th. And we are breaking the box for the business after hours. See, the chamber wants the business before hours to be 7 to 8:30. But since WTAD starts at 6, whether they're here or not, we're starting at 6. They don't know it. They don't care. They'll show up. They'll straggle in at 7:15. We'll say, where have you been? We're already underway. But mark your calendars for July 25th. And what's the next one coming up?
So our next one coming up is April 10th, and it's for Home Instead. And they are located at 3701 East Lake Center Drive in the Quincy Works building.
Okay, fantastic. And I know there's one for Target coming
up,
too.
Yes, that's our business before hours. It's April 24th.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kenyetta.
Yes, thank you
so
for having me.
So good to see you. The last time I saw you, you were giving a speech on how to juggle all those balls in the air at the same time, and I took some of your topics to heart. I'm trying to get better at that.
Awesome.
We're going to take
a
break, and we're going to talk with the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. Then we're going to talk about the prevention of child abuse, so stay tuned. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we have got Carol Harlow here. Say good morning, Carol.
Good morning, everyone.
And Rose Beauvais. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Rose and I go way back. She wanted to be just like me when she was a little kid, the older preteen. You know, I was the cool kid, right? Maybe not. Okay. But anyway, what problems the Griffith and Beauvais children caused in the neighborhood. My goodness, we were quite the rascals, weren't we?
No, not at all. I was a perfectly behaved child.
She lived on a hill that was so perfect for sledding, and you would never let your kids go down that hill now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We'd go right into the creek sometimes.
Oh, yeah, we did. I was quite the daredevil, yeah.
Yeah.
Skateboarding, ramps on the sewer when we, yeah. You know.
When your parents bought that house, they didn't think about the fact that the front door
right.
was leading up to a hill and the back door was down a hill. It just started at the top and just for two blocks.
It was awesome.
Get the kids going at 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was good times.
It was good times. And you know what the best part of it was? The whole neighborhood raised us and the whole neighborhood taught
yes,
us
did.
To behave. And if Mrs. Kleinsorge said, don't do that, we did it.
No.
We didn't
that's
do
right.
it. Yeah, that's right.
We had very good times.
We had good times. And we had good people who were parents. And we had good people in our neighborhood, were the village that raised the children. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because Carol Harlow and Rose Beauvais are from Transitions. And this is Child Abuse Prevention Month. And so we're going to talk about, first of all, there's a big event tomorrow in Clayton at the public library where people can come and have their children screened. And that's pretty informal. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're going to be putting them in a machine or something like that.
Right.
You just basically look at kids and see where they are and how they're doing. You just observe them, right, while they're playing and stuff like that, and maybe ask them a few little questions if they can talk.
Yeah, we have a couple activities that kind of go with the screening, and a lot of the questions are based on what we talk with the parents. Kind of, we want them to be able to observe their development, understand where they're at. So a lot of it is talking with the parents and asking them where they're at in their language, their gross motor, their personal social skills. But then there are some activities seeing if kids can stack six blocks, and we put a Cheerio in a cup and see if they can dump it out. You know, those are those fine motor skills.
Well, I can put milk in a cup and turn to see what time it is and dump it out. That doesn't show much about my motor skills. But we're going to talk today about child abuse prevention. Child abuse prevention is, in a sense, everybody's responsibility, because we can see things that are happening, and there are confidential, independent hotlines to report. But the most important thing is to prevent child abuse, not to report child abuse. That's important. But you guys work in the Parents as Teachers program. And I always say I'm an expert on raising children. Having never had any of myself, I know exactly what I would do in a perfect world. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we need to develop, and how does Parents as Teachers develop those skills in parents? Does that, Carol, Rose, whoever wants to talk about that, please.
I'll start. So with the Parents as Teachers program, one of our main outcomes is to prevent child abuse and neglect. And the biggest way we do that is to provide parents the knowledge of child development. We work with a lot of parents that are first-time parents, and maybe they don't have good supports. Maybe they didn't have very good role models. So they don't always have the parenting skills and the parenting behaviors that a child needs when they're growing up. And so quickly in those first 5 years of life, things change so fast. Like, one day this works, and then the next day we need to adjust. Mm-hmm. And so when we can provide that developmental piece about a child's growing development, we can help parents learn how to provide certain parenting skills to support that development, which then overall is going to prevent that child abuse and neglect, because they understand what to expect from their child. It's a realistic expectation.
Even though we've all been parents, I mean, even though we've all been children, we don't remember much about our childhood, you know, birth through four or five. Some people have no memory until they're three or four or five. And so I, you know, talking to a child in a reasonable voice is a good thing, but expecting them to really comprehend what you're telling them at two, you know, you have to keep telling them, don't put your hand on the hot stove. You have to keep telling them, hold my hand when we cross the street. They're not capable of hearing information like an adult would be and saying, oh, I need to remember that. So Rose,
yes.
it's repetition and
yeah, repetition.
And
I teach all my families, repetition reinforces learning. That's why you have to repeat things over and over again, you know, for them to get it, you know, and they're also making so many, you know, brain connections at this young age too. And you know, that saying, you don't know what you don't know. And like Carol said earlier, a lot of our parents just don't know what their kids are supposed to be doing at certain ages, you know, and I just recently had an opportunity to share a success story with one of my families about how she shared with me over her course, you know, her time with me in the program, how much she's learned about child development, and now she understands milestones. Oh, and that doing these activities helps their children, or her child in this case, learn all these things that is helping her language, her cognitive development, her social skills, her language skills. So it's so crucial, you know. At a young age, Mary, it's all about play. Play is learning as we educate. And they want to be with you at this young age. They want to be, you know, they want you to be on the floor with them, playing with them. But it's also about sitting back and observing your child, too, so you can see and share, you know, when we come into home. I love it when parents share their observations with me and I can check off those milestones. So it's just, it's all, you know, it all just comes together. It's great.
The social media aspect, I was saying and sharing this morning, I saw something this weekend that just broke my heart. Went out to brunch with a girlfriend of mine at a restaurant, and the entire time that we were sitting there talking to each other, a mother, a father, a grandfather, and a child were all on their devices, scrolling, texting, looking. They didn't speak to each other the entire time we were there. They didn't speak before their meal came. They even were doing their devices while they were eating. And afterwards, when the dishes were cleared, they still weren't speaking to each other. This is dangerous.
Yeah, it is. It is dangerous. And we've done, when we do our group connections, we've talked about like the battle of the screens. And listen, we are in the age of technology. We are. I mean, it's everywhere. You can't get away from it. But what we do when we come into the homes, like myself as a parent educator, we have those conversations about, we know it's okay to you know, watch an educational show, but let's balance that. You know, you need to read daily to your child. They need to hear the spoken voice. They need to see your eyes, you know, because a voice coming out of a TV screen or a device is different. And that's how you're going to teach your child language. Carol can probably back me up on this. During COVID, when we were locked in the house, it was, you know, we get it. They were trapped. They were isolated. So they did depend on their devices, you know, to entertain the children. We saw so many speech delays during that time. It was incredible. So,
that's concrete evidence that
right.
The Dolly Parton Imagination Library. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody, I've had people say, well, why would I want a book for a six-month-old? They can't read.
Oh.
But you can read to them. You learn to talk because you hear. Helen Keller had vocal cords. The reason she couldn't speak was because she couldn't hear.
Right.
I mean, you've got to hear the spoken word before you can develop language skills. And so
absolutely.
Reading to your children is very important. When it comes to abuse prevention, that's what you're trying to do, is give these parents in their own home setting the skills. Parents can reach out to Transitions, right? They can reach out and say, I want this for my kid. Is there a cost for this?
Nope. We are completely backed by grants, and so our program is at no cost to families. We have multiple funders that are providing the funding for us. So all they have to do is call out to Transitions, tell them what they're looking for, ask for the Parents as Teachers program, and we can get them going in the program.
And how early, how young can a child start?
So we start services at prenatal. So the
prenatal.
Moment somebody finds out they're pregnant, they can sign up with us. You know, and we used to forever be called birth to three for very long, many, many, many years. We've always been called birth to three. When I became supervisor in 2018, my first push was to include those prenatal services because we want to support those moms while they're pregnant, get them ready before the baby's there, make sure that they have the understanding, the knowledge of what that's going to be like when that baby comes home.
Nobody can tell you what that's going to be like.
We always say they don't come with an instruction manual,
right,
exactly.
but
giving them that support.
Every child is different, you know. Some people
absolutely.
Sleep through the night, other kids have got colic. I mean, and that's part of the problem. When it comes to abuse, parents get frustrated
because they
don't understand. I've done everything. Why is the baby still crying? And that's when the tempers flare and when abuse happens. So really, the more education we give to parents about this is normal, and you're going to have to tag team maybe, you know, or if you're a single parent, you're really going to have to get some support because you may just want to go for 5 minutes and get away from the screaming for just 5 minutes. The child's needs still have to be met. These are hard concepts. I mean, it's real easy to sit here in a textbook and say, now you should do this and you should do that until it's happening to you. And that's where you guys come in and support. Because you're showing them in the home, try this, try that. You're giving them alternatives and suggestions of how to enforce the learning that their children need to do.
Right.
We're doing that, but we're also providing to make sure that the parent themselves is taken care of. So, yes, we are there for the child, but our program is really focused on the whole family unit. And so we want to make sure that if that mom, that single parent, or both parents are struggling with that mental health and they're starting to get stressed because the baby is colic and they won't stop crying, we want to make sure that they themselves have the supports that they need for their mental health and help them learn ways to calm down and to de-stress, because we don't want them to take it out on that child. So yes, we're providing the child development piece so they understand the child's development, but we're also making sure that they themselves have supports to know how to handle their own emotions as they're going through, especially, you know, we just went to a training a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about child abuse and neglect, and they had this baby doll where they're talking about, you know, the baby won't stop crying, and we took this baby doll and we just shook it a little bit, and it shows you the trauma of what is happening to the brain when someone shakes that baby. And so a baby is being shaken and they're like, oh, they're done crying, yay, it worked, but the damage that they've done is irreversible at that point.
And so, you know, we need these supports. And that's why Parents as Teachers and Transitions is there. If somebody is listening, do they need a recommendation of their pediatrician? Do they call you directly? How does this work?
They just have to call. Anybody can enroll. Anybody can recommend somebody else enrolling in the program. All they have to do is call and ask for us.
And what's your number?
It's 217-223-0413, and I'm extension 372.
Okay, 223-0413. And remember, put those devices down. Talk to your kids. Use that device as a babysitter only when you really need it. Talk to your kids the rest of the time. Yeah. Rose Bovaire, Carol Harlow, thank you so much for coming by and for sharing. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back to do it all again tomorrow right here on The Mary Griffith Show.